Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gap between rounds is as short as it'll ever be this season. Round 9, throwing up a few curveballs in team list Wednesday today, 11 o'clock. And luckily, Lakey, you were right on time with your team's analysis. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. There's a good reason for that. I was sitting at home yesterday watching the footy, and right before the Dragons Roosters kicked off, I messaged Stilesy panicked that the teams were going to drop in 5 minutes, and I've done sweet FA on the teams right up as far as setting it up or anything like that. So he went, no, it's tomorrow morning. And I went, oh, good. So, yeah, I got on top of it and then, busy with work this morning, but I managed to bang out a bit of a piecemeal thing as it dropped, which was, let's say, it all became out of stress.
Yeah, well, it was very well done in the end. Got there as early as I think I've ever seen it in terms of the day it's been released, the teams. It was weird. I didn't even know what to – I thought we were getting them Tuesday night as you did, and then Wednesday morning. It's a strange old week. Plenty of Supercoach stuff to get through as well because I don't know about you, but I'm struggling to field a healthy 17. Last week did a bit of a number on my side, which was already pretty ordinary to begin with. How are you faring for this pretty tricky week?
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. I unfortunately had an absolute shocker yesterday. As I mentioned off air to you, I had Eli Katoa and Tohu Harris both go down within 5 minutes of each other, and combined for about 50 points all up, which was tough to watch. I thought both were looking good and in for a big afternoon. I've got Harry Grant up there at hooker, Josh Schuster's on the bench, as many people do, and it's very, very thin at the moment. We haven't even hit buys and we're barely piecing a team together.
It's one of those weird old seasons. I think just there's injuries every week, the suspensions, that's a big one. Don't pick players like Victor Radley in your side, I think is the name of the game. But yeah, a lot of Supercoach just caught in a bit of a tricky spot. We've spoken about them a few times now, but trade boosts, I'm up to my, I got two left in the bank. How are you going?
I got three left, I believe.
But it's one of those things that you think, saving for the buys, but the buys probably aren't as critical this year, as we've said, like 13 players only. So
Yeah, that's right. So I was looking at using one again this week with Tohu and Eli both out in my forwards and Harry Grant out in my hooking role. So, I mean, I'm left with pretty much like Udo Ikemanu and Sonny Luke as starters for me this week, which is far from ideal. So I'm possibly using my third this week to actually get something decent on the field.
It's one of those things, like it's probably worth using it, the strategy now, if you've got a lot of fires to put out and you're fielding pretty ordinary sides, then I guess this is the perfect time as ever to use the boost rather than keep them up the sleeve. And, you know, we're going to run out of trades anyway. I'm burning through left, right, and center. So why not throw a few new boosts into the mix there? Although I think I'm 0-3 in terms of using them appropriately. I seem to always get to the other side and I've wasted it on some rubbish player, Ben Hunt, one from earlier in the year. So I don't know, out of necessity, don't just do it to be, try and get someone flashy in or something like that, purely to not field Sonny Luke and Utu Ikemanu, I think, is as good a reason as any. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd be firing that off.
Yeah, I think that's my go-to plan. I got to just wait a little bit to see how long the boys are out for. We'll get into it a bit as we go through the teams, but, you know, Tohu Harris hasn't been announced how long his knee is going to keep him out for.
Hmm. So, Yeah, a bit of radio silence out of there. I should actually hit Anton up. I'm sure he's got a pretty direct line into Warriors camp, living as sort of a Wilfred over the Dutch a little bit there, I reckon. I can see him outside Warriors training in the bushes and that kind of thing all the time. He just strikes me as that kind of guy. I don't know. Do you get that vibe from old Anton?
Oh, I'm 90% sure that's why he moved back there from Sydney. He said it was for family reasons, and he treats the Warriors as his family. So I think that's what it's about.
Bunty, or four, look out your window, get some decent security over there, and all good. So you and I will go through some of the, we're going to go buy, sell, hold, pretty heavy content at the end of this pod. We'll go through the Teamless Tuesday news as always, and then captains and vices, so a relatively simple one. But like, I think it would be remiss of me not to bring up results from last weekend, and I know you probably don't want to go into it, but I've sat on these pods all year with Stilesy crowing. Alex, when he was on, he didn't have that much to crow about, but the Dragons were doing better than us. For the first time in a long, long time, Cows are on the winners list, and unfortunately was against your boys.
Yeah.
Did you, were you watching the game? Did you?
I was. And I thought for a lot of it, it was very back and forth. There were times where Newcastle were the better side. There was times where North Queensland were the better side. You looked like more of the teams you were last year than to start this year. It was a great game. One of the commentators at one stage actually said it's up there with the game of the year contenders. But what it came down to was goal kicking, really. It was just, you know, Lockie Miller's spraying them all over the field at the moment. And, you know, if it wasn't for him missing so many last week, we beat Penrith. And if it wasn't for him missing this week, we beat you guys. So I'm looking forward to getting an actual goal kicker back, and whoever that may be. I couldn't actually tell you.
Not going to be Ponga, your boy?
I thought it was last week. As I said, I was telling everybody that he was the first choice goal kicker to start the year, and then he's gone and got another head knock. So it's not a physical injury, so to speak. His limbs and legs and arms and everything were A-OK. So I thought he'd be walking back into kicking duties, but that wasn't to be. He was benched before games started, and even when he came on, he had relinquished the goal kicking. So I don't know what to make of that.
Now, I thought in the end, I watched the replay, so I didn't actually see the game live. I was following it along my Apple Watch at a wedding down on the Gold Coast.
That's right.
The only time I actually saw the game was peering through literally the bushes into the people's place next door while they were watching the game. So I didn't get away with that for too much longer.
It's very Anton of you.
Yes, it was. But the venue itself didn't have much in the way of football action and in English-speaking people. For that regard, because it was a Brazilian wedding, but fair to say I was the only person
at a Brazilian speaking wedding. They'd be all about the football, wouldn't they?
Football, yep, they certainly were, but not the the footy that I like. But no, it was a in the end my mood didn't sour and ruin the wedding. Would have been some shattered glassware and things like that, which I think is a custom in other weddings, but maybe not Brazilian. Yep. Was that plates?
That kind of thing. Greek weddings. I reckon, and by this stage of your relationship, Sauce would have been right there with you throwing glasses to make it seem like it was a planned thing.
Speaking of, I went from the highs of the Cows winning, just hanging on to her catching the bouquet. So you win some and you lose some. She couldn't have Ben Hunted that thing. Dived really aggressively in front of a sea of Brazilians to get it. So, yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't actually.
You should have Kenny Bromwiched her and tackled her before the ball got there.
I was very tempted. Oh, look, let's not ruin any weddings or anything like that. But unfortunately, the hands hands did not get the better of her in this case. So there you go. 2038 wedding, I'm thinking. But anyway, congratulations to my better half. Anyway, enough about last week. Let's get into the Team List Wednesday news. Again, we say it every week. We need some soundbite ideas.
I'm still working on that. I've got a few ideas, but yet to put them to the fore. So
I forget about it every single week, and then I get to the point where I press the button. I'm like, shit, which button do I push? Fanfare. We'll go with you. Anyway, mate, we're going to split it up. Let's start maybe with the suspension news. One of note here, Dylan Walker, 2 weeks, Ezra Mann, 1 week. But the big one, Payne Haas, out for a week, took the other guilty plea. So he's missing this round and causing a bit of carnage up in the front row. So we'll speak a little bit about some options later in the pod. But I'm seeing some people trading this guy out. I mean, I thought it was a silly move, but I spoke to you off air about it. You think there might be some pros in the list of trading out Payne Haas?
I don't know if pros is the right way to go about it, but I can understand it. So with him missing this week, then they Magic Round, which is an away game for him next weekend. Melbourne Panthers Origin is his run over the next 4 weeks. So a couple of really tough matchups, which doesn't really hurt Payne Haas, but he'll be missing two of the next, four or five games or something like that. And then he's into the Origin period where the Broncos have a bye in round 16 and he's out round, I don't know, whatever the byes are and Origin games fall on. So he's going to be missing a fair chunk of football over the next 2 months. So people possibly capitalizing on his very high price to get another gun in who's going to be playing over those weeks and trying to jump ahead of the, you know, planning for the byes.
I think, honestly, just save the trade. You're going to keep him for the long run anyway. So, yeah, might miss a few games here and there, but, geez, he's just top of the props, literally. Because he's so far ahead of the pack in that pretty tricky position. I mean, I think it's crazy to be trading him out. Surely you've got cash sitting clogging elsewhere, the Eli Katoas and that.
If I was a owner, I don't think I'd be making the move, but I can see the benefit of it. I'm not going to talk anybody out of it, that's for sure.
If you were an owner, who is in your front row?
Max King and Tohu Harris at the moment. Oof. So they've both been plodding along pretty well. Tohu, when he plays, has been very good. But, yeah, as I said, just landed funny on his knee or had a teammate land on his knee and he just couldn't get back up, unfortunately. So, yeah, he's gone. And it's the same knee that he did earlier in the year. When he hurt his MCL. So he missed, I think, 3 weeks then. If he's re-aggravated it now, there's a possibility he sits out for another month, maybe even a little bit longer, so they can get it 100% right before the back end of the year. Because the Warriors are playing some good footy and they look like they're heading towards finals. They're going to want him 100% healthy for that charge at the back end.
Certainly are looking pretty good, which is not something we often say this early on. They usually save the run for Origin, but no, Warriors going pretty good outside the tough loss yesterday. All right, let's get into the game by game. The Cows and Sharks kick us off in Sydney or in Cronulla on Thursday night. So a pretty quick turnaround. One day we get, and it's back on deck with the Rugby League. A couple of things for them. Reuben Cotter named to start at lock, as he was last week, but did get benched for the mighty Jake Granville.
Dude just keeps popping up in the forward pack. What can he do?
Oh, mate, honestly, he should just move to the coach's box, but maybe that's down the track. Gojewski, named for his third game in starting second row, but Helam Lukey due back next round, which would be a nice addition to our pack. It's been a long time since we've had healthy numbers there, but Gojewski gets his third game. Might also get some time over Origin as well when Nane is out. So Goz, probably not the, A-plus cheapie, but a few keeping their eye on him. And for Cronulla, no changes for them. Same 17 that did the job over the Doggies. Anything catching your eye there, mate?
No, not really. I just, it's easy to talk about Nico Hines in this Shark 17 every week, but I think he's done the same thing. I said in my article, it's the same thing the last 2 weeks where he's been, very low scoring in the first half and absolutely dominated the game in the second half to put up massive numbers. So, if you don't have him, you're missing out. You may as well throw in the towel now. I don't mind Cotter. He's starting to put up some big numbers again coming back from injury. Even if he came off the bench last week, I think he scored a try, if I'm not mistaken.
In the first week he was back, yeah.
So he had an 80 that week and something like a 70 last week. So he's putting up good numbers again. Doing what he did last year is just big work rate at limited minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing for me that's holding me off buying him this week is that he's got that Origin period coming up. And so the Cowboys play the first two bye weeks, so you'll miss those. And then occasionally, given how high his work rate is, as you said, often a big risk that he would get rested after those games as well. So could miss a huge chunk of the year.
And it was last year he was phenomenal in game one and hurt himself backing up, something like that. So he ended up missing the rest of the series, twinged a hammy and missed a fair chunk of NRL time as well. So very risky with a guy like Cotter, but there's worse options about.
You know, I was actually annoyed as a, well, not as a Cowboys fan, I guess, but not owning Val Holmes has been a bit painful this year. He's finally scored pretty handily, but he had 105 against you guys last week. But
that was painful.
Well, I'm sure it was. But other than that, like, he's scoring well in a pretty shit side, which often as a centre wing is difficult to do.
Yeah, so he's had two games under 60 this year, both in the 40s, which as a center wing, you're taking that as a floor. That's your floor, you're taking a 40s, you're happy with that. He's got goal kicking to bolster his floor as well, which doesn't hurt. But he just showed on the weekend what he can do when he does go off and when he's involved. And he just, tons are very within reach, very easy for Val when he gets a couple of those tacking stats. And he looked hungry on the weekend, firing up for the Origin series, go Queensland. So hopefully he can keep that form going over the next couple of weeks and take it into Maroon Camp.
Barry is going to signify to us that we, not only woohoo to the cows and all that, but that we're moving on to game two, and I'll throw it to you.
Yeah, so it's my boys versus the Eels. So Ponga's back in the starting 5'8". It's the same 17 as last week, but Ponga named at 5'8", as he was last week before getting thrown to the bench for kickoff for the mighty Tyson Gamble. I don't know if that happens again. I think it was possibly just his first game back. They wanted to make sure he was out there once the sting of the game was gone and he could have some more influence as a freshman. For the Eels, a little bit of changing. RCG copped that hip drop, was on the wrong end of the hip drop tackle, so he's out for 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. It wasn't as bad as first thought. Wiramu Greg comes in at starting prop, so that's a little bit interesting. He's 230k, low break even. Dory is still floating around on the bench, a bit of a pain in the ass. I know, personally, myself, I was looking at Hayes Dunster last week before he got dropped for Simonson, and Simonson did not last. He's got the HIA, so he'll miss this game. Dunster's name back on the wing with Sean Russell in the centers. And the other big one is Jermaine Hopgood has been named at lock, pushing Cardi to the bench. So there's a little bit of shuffle in the forwards there. Matto's out on an edge this week with Hopgood named at lock.
Yeah, non-Hopgood owner anymore, but having traded him out a couple of weeks ago, he still scored relatively okay. So if you did have to keep him around for whatever reason, you're kind of happy about that move. Now, healthy body and starting at lock where he can go anything, but hard to trust these benchings week to week.
Yeah,
it seems like Cardi goes back all the time and back on, and it's all happening.
Yeah, you just don't know what's going to happen with this rotation. I think when Hopgood goes off, Matto goes into the middle, and Cardi comes on the edge, how many minutes he's going to get, you're probably looking 30 or so. So that puts a cap on Hopgood's minutes. But as you said, he's knocking out 45s and 50s in a sort of bench role. As a starter, he can get that offload going early. He could put up some decent numbers. And as we've said, the Eels play on all three of the big buy rounds. So he's a good hold. If you've held on to him, you're not upset with the output and the potential coming up.
I actually traded in Hayes Dunster last week, and it got to Friday at 7 o'clock or whenever the team list was confirmed, and he was out. And I'd probably had about 13 beers at this point. I'm trying to navigate the updates and undo changes, and I just went, oh, screw it, whatever. He'll come in eventually. And then Simo unfortunately gets concussed and misses a game. So here's his third game to score 20 or something and move on.
But he has a break even at 36. There's every chance he loses money.
Jesus, yeah. Desperate times. Desperate, desperate times. Gotta love Big Bad Barry. Nice to have a studio audience member in attendance. Brisbane and the Rabbitohs had yet another Suncorp game. What's the surprise there for the Broncos? Jock Madden comes in for Ezra Mann, and Palacia comes in for Payne Haas, both only out for 1 week, so temporary solutions. And for the Bunnies, Jai Arrow and Tevita Totola are the props, with Totola coming back from injuries. Had a bit of a checkered season so far. Got on the field for, I think, 5 minutes in a couple of games or less. So he desperately needs some luck. Arrow's actually averaging 51. I thought he's looked better than that to the eye, but still just finding his feet before, hopefully for him, getting into Origin. And Davi Mawali still on the bench with Saluka Fifita, the one punted into the extended. So for both of them, I guess, relatively stable sides. Rabbitohs really impressive last week against Penrith. Broncos the same against Para. Not sure what to make of this game. I guess a couple of big outs for the Broncos there sees them in or the outsiders for this game with the betting companies. How do you see it?
Yeah, it's a strange one because the Rabbitohs have been so dominant of late, but it's all their backs and outside backs doing the damage. They're very thin up front, and I think with Haas going out, it sort of levels the playing field in that regard. But you know, I still think they'll get worked over through the middle. It's just up to Latrell and Cody to steer the side around and put on some points through their attacking flair, which has been ridiculous at the moment. They just cannot put a foot wrong.
Don't know about you, but I'm getting pretty sick of Latrell and Cody. I would like them to stop.
No, I say I don't have Cody, but I'm a Latrell owner, and I'm far from sick of it. It's been fantastic.
It's been, I mean, it's incredible to watch sometimes. Like, he's not, you know, the highest ball runner ever and doesn't get through the base level output and all that kind of stuff, but he doesn't need it. Three times in a row. Like, it's just, it's been a bit of an unreal run.
He gets anywhere close to the line and he's all of a sudden a third front rower for the Bunnies. Mm. He's just running over the big blokes. No one can stop him. He's too strong. He gets to the line. So, and he's got ridiculous passing on him, setting up, AJ on the wing for tries willy-nilly. He's just phenomenal. He's honestly, he's Matt Bowen in Georgie Rose's body.
There you go. To be fair, late career, Matty Bowen had a bit of a George Rose gut on him. But nah, the absolute great man. There you go. Matty Bowen getting a shout-out on the
I love it.
Report 2023. Looking forward to this one. I think it might just be the game that the Bunnies run, or at least Latrell and Cody don't get tons. I'll call that my bet of the week. I hope they still win regardless. Yep. I hope the Bunnies, but it's all done through Tavita Totola and Davi Mwale. All these big poppers through the middle.
Stranger things have happened. Let's say, look. Maybe Cam Murray can feature because he's been an absolute muppet for me the last few weeks. But,
Absolute muppet. Big, strong words from Lakey. Raiders and Finns.
Not much happening with the Raiders. They're fresh off the bye, so Jordan Rapana's had time to recover from that massive head knock. He's back in on the wing, replacing Nick Chotrick, who managed a sin bin and pinged Hammy in the one play that last game out. So, you know, just the one change for them. But Xavier Savage is on the extended bench, so there could be a little bit of a shuffle. He got through Rezzy's pretty well last week, I heard, so it won't be too far before he's back in the NRL. For the Dolphins, Kenny Bromwich comes back in from his suspension but goes into the prop rotation, pushing SASA into the bench. So Lemuelu is still out on the edge. You know, that was a big concern for many Lemuelu managers, but he survives. He's done enough to keep a starting second rower job. And the other major, I guess, inclusion, if you can call it that, is Anthony Milford on the extended bench as he tries to come back from, I think it's a hammy injury. I just wonder if he's not 100%, so they've put him in the extendeds just to fill the numbers. But, yeah, Katoa and Nico are still the halves for now.
Yeah, I guess Wilfred's just still waiting anxiously for the big MILF to return.
He's just celebrating that he's back in Queensland and can get around to his house again.
Would love to see him at Magic Round. How good would it be if Wilf can watch the big MILF in action? Not that far away. Next weekend. Whew, big one. Yeah, it's an interesting game here. Obviously, the big news is the Jack Fighton stuff. He's the Raiders are in the news for the wrong reasons. But, yeah, he's moving on. So I'm interested to see just what this does and in terms of their morale as a team and all of that. So it could be a good chance for the Finns to get one.
And not to mention the Finns came back from 26-0 down to win by 2 points on the weekend against the Titans. So they'll be flying high coming into this game.
Messaged the group chat who I go to the Finns games with. I wasn't there, unfortunately, Sunday, but I messaged and said Finns down at about 26-0, and they proceeded to go and win the game. So I would like to offer my services to anyone that would like their team spoken down. Doesn't work for the Cowboys because they do it every week.
Do it for the Knights a few more times, especially against the Cowboys. We could use a few more wins.
never using this for bad. But no, the Dolphins, it was an incredible win. Sadly for them, though, or for me and Supercoach, that the big hammer gets 30 or whatever.
It just wasn't featured. It was a strange old game.
Although they did throw the ball to Rob Jennings, who fell. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. We've all seen it.
That was ridiculous. I thought he was hurt, to be honest with you. He just laid there.
Classic brain farts. And he didn't in front of, you know, 40,000 people and a million watching at home. It was just a classic. But cost 12 points would have been handy into the Hammers score. But anyhow, not to be. I guess the only other thing worth mentioning, we'll speak about him a little bit later, is Rob Jennings on the bubble here, negative 20 break even. But you got Tessie New coming back next week per the casualty report on NRL.com. And you got mighty Queensland hero Edric Lee in extended. Yep. So spot is probably far from... sewn up.
I wouldn't be taking the risk on Rob Jennings. Tessie New has been spoken about as being a possible inclusion for the last 2 weeks, so he's very, very close to coming back into this side, and he'll take up that left wing role on his return.
There you go. Gotta love Big Baz. Love the ferocity of those woohoos. But there you go. Manly and Titans. Very tricky game, I think. A lot of people are relying on some big name Sea Eagles. One of them's out, though. Josh Schuster has not had a very good year. Nor for super coaches who, like myself, have owned him since round one. He's barely gotten through three games, has not made any money because he scored 20 last week, and now he's out with a quad injury. So just can't get any luck. Know some people speaking about him. Maybe he just goes back to the second row where it used to work. But 5'8", just not clicking for him so far. He's a painful one. Cooper Johns is his replacement. Turbo has been named, but obviously in severe doubt. He barely made it, or he didn't make it through last week, the groin issue. And we know they linger. These groin things don't tend to go away pretty quickly. So Turbo not in good nick at the moment. But if he's named, it's a home game against the Titans. So we've seen what he does before in these matchups. So if he's named and plays on game day, I'd be backing him because they're not going to.
Mate, you said we've seen what he does. 2 years ago, he had a 116 and a 208 against the Titans. Just ridiculous numbers. But yeah, he's had a huge history of injuries, mostly hammies, but I don't know if they risk him if he's not 100%. He's going to be given up until captain's run to be proven healthy, so hopefully he gets through okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's leaving me in the lurch here if he does miss the game, because I think I've got to keep him around because I don't have the money for Luttrell, but if he's not named, I have to play someone like Alamotti or even Sean Kepi or one of these guys. So it's pretty slim picking, so fingers crossed that Turbo's groin heals up. I won't offer any assistance, but I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who would. Ruben Garrick into the centres with Tui Piloto back onto the wing. I think it's probably a temporary move because you got Kula and Parker due back in 10 and 12 respectively, so I wouldn't put too much weight into that move. And Garrick owners anyway, like, he's going to play fullback at some stage this year where he always scores well. So
yeah, it's just over the Origin period. Turbo should be in the New South Wales team if he's not injured. Either way, Garrick will be about the fullback there. But this was a move that was floated in the preseason. I think Garrick played a little bit of preseason games in the centres, and it was a possibility of happening there, which I can't say I'm a fan of. He's been so good scoring tries out on the wing with, you know, great moves and shifts and Turbo setting him up. But if he comes into the centres, work rate will go up, but attacking stats likely to go down, you would think.
Yeah, just think historically, some of those Manly centres, you got some Steve Maddow in the olden days and Steve Bell, all these players, they're not hugely known for their attacking prowess. So you just wonder, do they get blunted being moved there? Or Brad Parker, even Cooler himself, like, it seems to be a bit of a graveyard for Supercoach scoring. So who knows? It might be a tough couple of weeks if he can't get going, but a match against the Titans here should be just the tonic he needs. Speaking of the Tights, nothing much doing. They've shoveled some deck chairs on the bench, but in terms of Supercoach, same old, same old. Anything else for this game, mate?
Nah, man, I just hate watching Dave Fifita play when he's not in my side. He is having an absolutely huge year.
It is quite frustrating, actually. He's not gone massively so far. No. So I've been able to avoid having to desperately bring him in, but it's close. It's building. He's just scoring 80s for fun.
But that's it. He's scoring 70s and 80s, and I don't think he's scored a try yet, has he?
He set a few
running
up.
Running hard and just, you know, no, he hasn't scored a try yet. So, and we know any given week he can get over for two or three. He'll go bananas as soon as he does.
When's he playing the Cowboys again? Pull them down. Panthers and Tigers, mate. Another, the Tigers, poor guys, are at $10. This is a tough matchup looming.
Oh, I might throw a sneaky $5 on the.
They nearly got there last Tigers week.
At the line.
Mm.
So yeah, no big one for the Panthers is Isaac Tongo is hurt his pec. It's not a full tear. He's not out for the year, but he's going to be missing the next 6 or 7 weeks. So Tyrone Peachy gets a start at center. I know Taruva owners have been absolutely spitting on Isaac Tago's name each week because he doesn't pass left. So maybe Peachy does a little bit more of that, but I honestly don't think he's much of a passing center himself. Hosking, Sorensen are both in the second row. Martin's still out, but Garner's in the 18. I'm starting to get worried that he's going to come in because we saw last week Hosking was pulled at some stage through the Rabbitohs game right in the middle of it, and I thought that was possibly the end of him. So I don't think it's long before Garner comes in and upsets the apple cart there. I mentioned Taruva before. He rolled his ankle late last week, didn't manage to play out the game, but has been named for this one. Just could be a late out. Keep an eye on that one. And for the Tigers, Nofo is back. And Staines got a perforated abdomen or something like that. Oof. Like he's a very severe injury. So he's going to be out for 8 to 10 weeks. Had to have surgery on that and fix that up. But otherwise, not much changes. Dream Buller keeps the fullback spot. And I thought he was pretty good there. It was a tough old game, playing Manly in torrential rain. But I thought he did pretty well.
For a debutant, yep, the Tigers have a lot more issues than him back at fullback. So nice to see in a bad season. Sometimes it's nice to just blood some of these guys and get experience in the legs. It's not easy for them to come into pretty terrible matches.
May as well look to the future. Yeah. They're not doing anything this year. Start getting the young guys some experience. They're going to cop some floggings along the way, but they'll be better for it in the long run.
Mm. Yeah, other than that, nothing at all about the Tigers warrants inclusion in your side. I think they're just ones to forget about. Be nice to see Nofo come and play like he used to back in the day, but geez, where's your confidence at if you can't even crack this Tiger side outside of all these injuries? So anyway, I expect Nathan Cleary captain will be a pretty popular one here, but yeah, not sure what, I think this one's being played not in Penrith. I'll get it up in a minute, Lil. thank you. And yeah, it's going to be one of those, another just easy,
it's in, I think, Bathurst,
captain call to make. There you go.
Home away from home in Bathurst. So they still do pretty well there, but yeah, it's not the fortress that Penrith is.
I must say as well, as a Taruva owner, I actually quite like to the eye test. He hasn't quite kicked on just yet, but all the runs he does and all that, he was headed for a decent score last week before.
He gets through a lot of work, God help him. Like he comes in and puts his hand up for run when they're in trouble in the back half, and he's always willing to do the hard work. He just doesn't get any attacking ball, unfortunately. So hopefully he can get a bit more of that with Peachy there.
Alrighty, mate. We're on to the Sunday afternoon games. Warriors and Roosters, they're both backing up from Anzac Day outings. Warriors, bit of a bit part side this week. No Nickel Klukstar. He's out for 2 weeks with concussions. Unfortunately, won't be back in time for that second week per NRL physio. He's suffered a concussion earlier in the year, so that rules him out. And Tohu and Jazz Tavanga both out as well for unknown durations. So a bit of a tough one. CNK and Tohu especially are the popular Supercoach plays. So yeah, absences will definitely hurt. Bunty Ofoa joins Fanua Blake in the starting prop rotation. So Ofoa, we know Anton, we've shouted him out a couple of times tonight, but he is a big fan. Not sure what that does in terms of Supercoach value. Would like to see how Ofoa goes in extra minutes, but AFB, on the other hand, is scoring tries for fun the last couple of weeks. So whenever a forward does that, a prop, it gets people excited in Supercoach land. Tough to see him continue that stretch on. Do you back him in for a third game in a row here?
No, it's hard to see the prop done over 3 weeks in a row, especially against the Roosters. They've got good middles now. JWH is playing some outstanding footy. Lindsay Collins is an Origin rep. And then, you know, you've got guys, the Butchers aren't amazing defensively, but, you know, Crichton as well and Radley aren't afraid of a hit. So it's going to be a tough one for the Warriors, unfortunately, with three of the biggest names in their side out. I just don't know if AFB will be putting his hand up for a lot of work in this one. I do see a lot of work coming from him. Just don't know if he gets that attacking stats that he was getting.
I think he played almost 70 minutes or thereabouts last week, so I had to get through a lot of work. And we know he can. I think he's played 80-minute games
before. He was massive for them. He really led from the front, especially when Tohu went down. Like, they were obviously low on troops, so he had to, but did not take a backward step. Had to deal with Naz all night, who was a monster, but he performed very well.
Certainly did. For the Roosters, Sam Walker's still on the extended reserve, so Joey Manu remains at number six. He busted something like 10 tackles, scored a try, all the usual Manu stuff. If he stays at 5'8".
Still doesn't like to pass the ball.
No, a lot of weird hoggy sort of runs, sometimes getting it twice in one set.
I don't know if you saw the end of the game, but he picked the ball up out of dummy half and started to go on a run, and four of the Roosters were going, give it to Cleary. That's how they ended up with the field goal.
I did watch the replay of that just before on NRL 360, one of my favourite viewings. And yeah, there you go, headless chalk. I don't know who gets field goal assist points, but probably should. And Crichton, a name you just mentioned, he's back to the bench for the returning Nat Butcher. So got through the game successfully last week, which is good to see. I think for Supercoach, might be a little while before he's back in our sides, but hopeful of playing Origin. So it'd be good for him to see him back in that capacity. But anything else for this game, mate?
No, just on Crichton. He seemed a little bit off the pace, which is to be expected. He's missed 2 months of football, so he was in shape but not game shape, really. But he's still damaging, still had a few good runs. I just think it's going to take him a little while to get back up to full speed.
Into the last game here, and it's a very
it's a cracker to end the round. Thanks for leaving this one for me. Maxi Finai comes onto the wing as joins his twin brother who's on the other wing. But Tata Mogu, who scored 3 for the Dragons in that almost upset, hurt his shoulder, I believe. So he's out for a little while. Hopefully it's not too bad because we know the injury history with him. They were talking about it during the broadcast. He's played 85 games in 12 seasons or something like that.
Jesus. It's
absolutely horrific what he's had to go through, and a true credit to his mindset that he can get himself back out there each and every year for keep having a go. So hopefully this latest setback isn't too serious for him. For the Doggies, Kyle Flanagan has been made a scapegoat in my book. He's been dropped because of the Doggies' recent form. They've lost 3 in a row, and Flanagan's been dropped out of the side for Josh Reynolds. He comes back in, the cult hero down at Belmore. Oluwapu. He's in the extended, so he was close to playing last week, apparently, and there is rumours that he's going to come on for his debut on the bench at some stage, so this could be the week.
I think some people on your article talking about how Josh Reynolds probably can't play 80 minutes anymore, so maybe we'll have to get some coverage on the bench, which is currently just all forwards. So you'd like to see them name him in the side and all that for the fanfare and, you know, for his family and all that kind of thing, but you just never know. So it could be interesting game plan, one to keep an eye on for Supercoach. Alrighty, it's, as you said, a cracker to finish off. We're going to take a quick break, come back with some buy-sell hold chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That. the smooth guitar to take us into the final run on the SC report here. Lakey, we'll start with some sells, some holds, and then we'll go into the buys because that's obviously the critical part this week, trying to nail the right ins and right outs for your Supercoach side. So I put some sells together. This is just all from the article that I put up on the site earlier today. So I'll rattle some of them off. Feel free to add in or object where you don't agree. But sells for this week, I think some pretty easy decisions can be made. So Eli Katoa, your guy at the top of the list here, 546K. He's out for at least 2 weeks through concussion protocols. Storm also don't think they play the first bye week either. So it's one of those easy calls to make at that sort of price tag. It's unfortunate because I thought he's been quite damaging, quietened a little bit recently, but I think time is probably right now to move on.
Yeah, I think I will be. Unfortunately, with that injury, he's got 27 points in his, or 20 points in his rolling average. So he's got a high break even. So all profits have been made for the time being. Obviously, on the bye this week, has the plays at Magic Round. I think it's bang on 11 days. So I wasn't 100% sure. I said in the article he might be right. Physio saying he's going to be out for those two games. So that really hurts. And then, as you said, he's got the bye in round 13, his second bye. So misses 4 of the next 5 weeks, providing he's okay. There's no lingering concussion issues, which keep him out a little bit longer. So I'm looking at selling him myself. He's looked very good. And I thought he was going to be in for a massive game up against his old club this week, but not to be.
No, unfortunate one. Speaking of his club, another on the sell list, Tohu Harris. So unfortunate knee injury, recurrence or re-aggravation, as you said, of the one he suffered earlier in the year. Not sure how severe it is just yet, but I think a lot of cash, he's got strapping going on everywhere. So he didn't look 100% either. So done a really good service if you've had him in when he has been healthy, but I think injuries are just starting to creep up. So now's a good time to move away. You agree with that?
Yes and no. He's been a bit slow since coming back. I mean, he got hurt in round 4 for a low score, came back with a 63 and 62 minutes after playing 80s to start the year, and then, you know, had a 36 on the weekend, getting hurt just before halftime as well. So good when he's out there playing really well and getting some good stats, but just needs to get his knee right. As you said, once, if he's healthy, if he comes back in short time, he'll be playing, you know, misses round 12, but plays the big first big buy round in the next couple of weeks after that. So I'm up in the air with Tohu personally. I think you could sell him, and it's something I have looked at, but again, I'm not against holding him if he's got a short turnaround, if that knee's not as bad as first thought.
I guess at 9, he's going to miss round 9. He'll miss round 12. I think it's a lot of cash to have buried in a guy with decently high break even, and we're not sure where he's going to land. So absolutely, if you've got other options and your front row is pretty healthy, which I doubt it is, but if it is, you might as well keep him around just in case something might happen. And he'll be back on the park next week, because I agree, when he's on and he's healthy, he's almost top shelf in terms of front row, and a guy that I would have loved healthy to pair him up with Payne Haas. But I think a bit of an injury risk. I'm kind of with you in terms of you don't have to move him on.
Yeah.
Don't. But yeah, I think it's an easy call to make if you're short of numbers this week and need some cash freed up. In the same sort of vein, Chance Nickel Klukstar, he's out for a couple of weeks. We know that. And then he'll miss round 9, round 10, and round 12. So a lot of time out coming up. He's a guy that I think looks a genuine keeper at times. So he scored.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal.
370s and a 92 in his 7 games. All of those away from Mount Smart, so he's not just a home track bully, but he gets involved. He takes a run every set. He's feeding the last pass a lot, so getting those attacking stats. And I think just looking, passing the eye test pretty handsomely. I really like what he's doing. But in terms of sells this week, he's an easy one just because he's missing so much time. But a guy I can genuinely see getting back in down the line.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I think he's had a phenomenal season. He got HIA'd in round 2, so only played 50 minutes there, which has brought his average well down. against the Roosters then, and then hurt on the weekend. And he was on track for a massive score, 77 points in 55 minutes or something like that. So, you know, Melbourne aren't the team they used to be, and he was really taking it to them. It's a shame he got hurt and has to miss the next couple of weeks, because he was looking, as you said, as a genuine keeper.
Yep, certainly was. A man who's probably not in that mould, but Alfiana Khan Pereira, AKP, he is out of my side. Well, he was last week, and I think a fair few this round as well. 452K you're going to get for him. Break even of 52. He's thrown up some pretty awful scores in amongst some decent ones, but I think in terms of getting your centre wing right, we kind of need to move on from these rocks and diamonds kind of players and start getting him in some serious cash gen or just out and out premium guns. So for me, on the chopping block last week, should be the same for anyone that still owns him. Yeah, Titans were 26-0 and he was on 10 points at halftime.
Yep. Finished on 20 after the team scored 26. So they just weren't going to his side for whatever reason, or if they were, I think Fifita was taking a lot of the runs, which has sort of been back and forth with him. Fifita does love to throw that cutout ball, which has really helped Camperera a couple of times, and he's had some decent scores. He'll get across for a double or triple at some stage and bang out another ton and start making some more cash, but it was the first week this week where he lost money, and yeah, it's we said it last week, his 16 that he had against the Dragons was going to come out of his rolling average, so he could possibly look at jump-starting the money-making again, but the 21 that he just had seems to be right in his wheelhouse. He had a 5 to start the year. He's the definition of a roller coaster. He's either going to go massive or just give you absolutely nothing. And I think he's made his money. It's time to move on.
Agreed. One other name that I want to add to this list, not for round 9, but I'm thinking round 10 if he can't kick on against my boys this week, and that's Teague Wilton. He's scoring 60s a lot. He did have his, I think, lowest score last week with a 40-odd. But I've just been looking at that side. Nikora is the one that we should have been on. Mm-hmm. And Wilton's been doing a job, but one of those guys, he's not quite at that top level in terms of second row, but he's probably priced a little bit too high at the moment for some of those scores. So if he can't score well against the Cowboys this week, despite his pretty good run, I'm going to have him on the chopping block. Anyone else I haven't named or that you're thinking of selling?
Well, as I said, no. Harry Grant has been thrown up as a potential sell by a few people with the bye this week and then Origin coming up. But we just showed what he can do last weekend at any given stage. He banged out a ton for the first time in a few weeks. So I'd be worthwhile holding him. Brian To'o is one I've been looking at. He's got big games in him, but he's also his floor now is much lower than we've seen in the last few years. He's not quite getting the ball that he's used to when he was playing on the left wing. So out on the right, he's not as dominant as he once was. So I wouldn't be against moving him on to a safer player, someone in the Garrick or Manu ilk, if you can make that move. But he's got Origin coming up as well, so he's going to be missing a fair few games, and he's just not been scoring what we want him to.
If he wasn't playing the Tigers this week and I still owned him, I fortunately turfed him for your boy Maju a few weeks ago, and that's gone pretty well. But yeah, To'o just is a frustrating one to own because we know what he can do, as you said, but he's just not on that right side of the field or the left side where he needs to be.
Everything says he should be scoring big. He's playing on the side with Nathan Cleary, who's the dominant ball player in that side. With Stephen Crichton just had 3 tries and 150 points on the weekend. It just wasn't getting hulk out one more to To'o. So, you know, the scores are there, the potential's there, but again, Crichton doesn't love to pass the ball. He'll be better off for it when Crichton goes to the Dogs next year.
It's a good segue into the holds, mate. And there's 3 Manly players I've got in the article this week for holds. Reuben Garrick, top of the list there, and Josh Schuster, I guess, and Tommy Turbo. But Garrick, for me, really premium gun, centre wing, had a bit of a down week. And I was thinking there might be some rage trades. There looked to be a handful for him, and some talk about that move to the center that we've already spoken about. But I think ignore the break even. He's a guy that you're going to want in your side throughout that Origin run and beyond. I think we've seen how good he's been consistently for a couple of years now. So Garrick, decent price, but a guy, ignore the break even, just keep him in for the duration. Disagree? Agree?
I don't disagree at all. I moved heaven and earth last week to get him in for that Tigers matchup. I thought he was going to be huge, but wasn't to be. And but he's a gun. He's going to be a top four center wing for the year. If you've got him, just hold on to him. It's not worth you know, ripping your side apart to get rid of him when every chance you're just going to want him back. And he's playing left center this week. Ewan Aitken just had a 99 at left center against the Titans last week. And the left centers score pretty well against the Titans on a week-to-week basis. Just looking that up, they, you know, left centers are going at 64 points a game against the Titans this year. So there's been a couple of decent scores, the 99 being the top of them. But it, he's every chance of – we said it last week. He had a high break even. He's still got a high break even, but he could hit that. You know, he can go massive on his day. So there's a chance he could get that.
Good. Should be an excruciating watch for me as a non-owner. Looking forward to it. Josh Schuster, I did mention as well. Not in the same vein because he's making no money at all, but that's the whole reason I've got him as a hold. He's 270K and going nowhere, but you're making no value moving away from him. And no. Yeah, for whatever, for right or wrong, he's a guy you can use for the VC loophole when he's not playing, which is quite a lot.
But the other thing is there's no one really to trade him down to. If you're going to trade him, it would have to be up. There's no one in, let's say, the 500 to rookie-priced range that you really want to make that move for. You're going to have to spend a lot of money to go up to someone, and you're not going to make much money going down to someone. So, as you said, it's worthwhile just holding, just for the sake of it. There's, you can flip him back and forth between 5-8 if you need the flexibility. It's not worth getting rid of him just because he's a dud.
And Tommy Turbo, he is named, as we said. If he's not named, I'll probably move him to the cells, in all honesty. I think if he's not named, it's obviously the side is not confident in his ability to push through the games and all of that. So given he's had a bit of a down couple of weeks here and suffered a groin injury, we know they linger. For me, he's a hold for now just purely because he's named. And if he gets on the field against the Titans, could go anywhere. But for mine, if he's in the scratchings later in the week, follow Adam Stiles for that info. But if he's out, I'd almost be moving him on and using a boost to do it if it's early enough in the week that you can make a move to, say, a Will Kennedy. So it would need to be a tomorrow for him, but any other valuable kind of fullback. So, yeah, if not this week, and must trade next week if he's not named either. So yeah, Turbo is an asterisk.
It's very much an asterisk. You want him playing this week. This is a matchup we want him for. As I mentioned, a 116 and a 208, his last two games against the Titans. Next week, Broncos at Magic Round. Week after that, Sharks back at Four Pines. So very tough matchups coming up. And then shortly after that, Origin. So it could be anything. The Origin game one in round 13, and then the Manly have the bye in round 14. So he could be missing a fair chunk of games in the very near future, coupled with some very tough matchups. So, I mean, if he's not playing this week, I'll probably look at moving him on as well. I'm not sure who to, but it's something to entertain.
And then finally on the list here for me in terms of holds, the Hammer. He's 600K exactly. He has a break-even of 105. A lot of people moving him on, but I think the reason I've got him here this round is because it's such a tough week to fill. So if you move him on, your every likelihood of having to chuck in someone like a Croker or a Dunster or whatever to fill numbers and even rely on a Taruva to be healthy and that kind of thing. But a healthy number who will probably lose some cash, all things considered, this round. But I think Hammer is a guy I'm happy to keep around for at least another week and hope that he can towel up the old Raiders in Wagga Wagga. So for me, he's a hold on that basis. But if you've got no other avenues to get some of these premiums we're about to speak of, I can see the move and justify it. But for me, he's too crucial a number this week in my 17.
I think if you've got him with Turbo, it's a good hold because if Turbo's out and you want to move him on, you can bring Hammer down to your second fullback spot for the week just to give you a bit more flexibility, some more players to look at. But the numbers against the Raiders, you mentioned you've got big break even. Fullbacks against the Raiders this year, 59, 79, 55, 103, 57, 86, 85. So the Raiders have been not great. We know that. Even when they beat the Broncos in a very big upset, Reece Walsh still put on an 80-plus score on them. So Hammer could, you know, he'll be up for this one. He'll be looking for a few more attacking stats. He hasn't scored a try in almost 2 weeks now, so he could bounce back for a big one.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, yeah, it's one of those things. He could bang out a 30 and really frustrate me, but, you know, I'm going to take the punt and hope that, just like when everyone was trading him out against the Cows a couple of weeks ago, he can turn it on and score, you know, a couple of tries out of nowhere. Any holes
just
that we have?
To go the other way, play devil's advocate on Hammer, it's 35K up to a Ruben Garrick. It's not much money to go up to the premium level guys. So if you don't have any other spot fires, if you don't have the Torhus or, you know, Eli's or whatever, or you're going to hold Eli through his bye, then, yeah, I'd be looking at trading him up to an out-and-out gun, someone you know who's going to be a top four guy at the end of the year. But as we said, it's a big asterisk with Turbo, and Hammer could come in handy.
Any other holds I haven't spoken about, mate?
No, not really. Hosking for now. Yep. We've got to wait and see with what's going on with Garner. And as I said, I'm holding Harry Grant. I know a lot of people are trading him out because of what's coming up, but he's averaging 75 on the year, and I think he's a good 10 points per game ahead of second place in the hooking options. So even if he does miss a couple of games, then he's still going to be the top scoring hooker for the year.
Yeah, and that's my basis for keeping Payne Haas around as well, is that, yeah, it might be a useful one for a week or so, but beyond that, and Origin and all that, beyond that, you're just burning trades to get them back in down the line, and they can always go on tears in very quick spaces, and all of a sudden they get very expensive and tricky to bring back in. So with you there, definitely on Harry Grant. All right, the fun part of the pod, mate, the buys, and obviously a ton of options so far this week. I'm going to start with my number one buy for this week, and if I had the money, I'd do it, but I don't. But Britton Nicotta, and sorry, we should always preface, we say to do a lot of things on this podcast, don't actually do them ourselves, whether it's through inability to do so, but inevitably, anything we say to do that we don't do ourselves goes pretty well. So anyone out there on the fence, Britton Nicotta is my guy. If you could afford him, 746K, second row only, break even of 53. He's been very much a quiet achiever so far this season. He's got a 4% ownership, which I find criminally low, but getting there. Surprising for a guy who's been so good so consistently. And he's coming up against the Cows side, who like giving up a lot of points. It's fair to say, so far in 2023. So it could be a bit of a bloodbath out there at home for the Sharkies tomorrow. And I, for one, think it could go pretty well for Nicotta and his 4% ownership. So for me, in terms of second row, getting some quality up there, he'd be my number one target for the round. Any thoughts on Nicotta?
Only that, let's say he's sort of been floating around. I didn't want to bring it up, but I'm going to. I did hear on the podcast early on in the season you making a jug bet with Alex about who's going to be the better scorer between him and Teague Wilton, and you went Wilton because you're an owner. That has backfired on you.
Don't anything I put a bet on go the opposite, basically.
Yeah, and Nico has been incredible, and especially since Nico's come back, he's playing on that right edge with Hines and just getting fed quality ball. Guys are looking to stop Nico Hines and forgetting about Britton Nicotta. So he's been phenomenal this year. Two scores, 46 and 54 are his lowest on the year. The next lowest is 81 that he had in round three. So just constantly pumping out 80 pluses with a couple of 90s in there. Playing huge, absolutely huge. Looking very much like he's going to be a top five second row at the back end of the year if he can keep this up.
Look, would be very surprised should he go under 80 tomorrow. Surprised, but not unhappy if, as a non-owner and Cows fan, that was to play out. But I just see a lot of quality attack going down his general area. So, Nicolo, my guy for this round, who'd be your number one buy, mate?
My number one buy, I've gone left field with a guy I'm looking at, and that's Josh Curran. He hasn't had a big year at all. Obviously not even featuring in the 17 at times and largely playing off the bench, but gets a start at lock this week. His two games previously where he's played big minutes, he played 80 minutes against the Knights for a 62, and he played 73 minutes against your boys, the Cows, for a 75. So it can go big. He's got a big work rate. He's got some attacking stats in him. You know, just look at the Sharks game earlier this year. He only played 18 minutes and scored 46 points. So can get it done on his day. If Tohu and Jazz are out for any length of time, very seriously looking at Josh Curran.
It's an interesting one. I'm surprised he had a 17, but I guess coming off the bench last week, which is going to sting his break even for a couple of weeks. But I think, yeah, you, now that you brought him up, one of those genuine players throughout Origin. But it's just been weird how they've treated him at times throughout the season. So he's been in New South Wales Cup. He's been playing terrible minutes off the bench. Those occasional starting matchups are good, but it seems to be that he's just fallen down the pecking order. So I'm not sure in a healthy side, where he sits, which would be
it's very dependent on what the injury assessments are for those two guys I mentioned, because they're starting players, and if they're around, then Josh Curran is not in the side or he's on the bench. But yeah, if they're out, like Jazz has an Achilles injury, Achilles and calf, so that could stick around for a long time if it's bad enough. And Tohu, as I mentioned earlier, same knee that he hurt earlier and he missed 2 or 3 weeks. If this keeps him out for the next month or so, plus the Warriors 2 buys coming up, then Josh Curran could be huge across that period.
As Stilesy would say, get him in for draft. Absolutely froth draft. There you go. Front row, let's talk about that, because Payne Haas obviously is the big out in Tohu if you own him, but a lot of ground to be made up in that position. If you were to buy one front rower this round, who would it be?
I'm really liking the look of Tino for the Titans. He's been big without going massive. I think he's building something. Problem is that Origin period, so that probably keeps me off buying him. But someone like a Joe Tarpany, I think is starting to build. He's always been good at the back end of the year, and again, doesn't play Origin, so he'll be massive. I think he's just been underperforming.
It's a strange underperforming too, because Papali's been out for so long during the year, and normally when he's out during Origin, Tapane steps up and goes quite large, but Sticky's been playing him for like 50 minutes in a pretty inexperienced pack, so I'm not sure what to make of it. He's not throwing offloads. I think he's thrown something like 3 or 4 so far this year, broken maybe 10 tackles. That's just not Tapane from last year. He averaged 66, and he's only gone one game so far this year above that. It's a strange old time.
Yeah, and say as you said, his points per minute on the season is over 1.2, and we're talking about him like he's having a down year. So even playing 50 minutes a game, he's averaging 60 plus. If he does get some attacking stats, if he does get that offload going, break some tackles, he's going back up to 70 points a game. And I think he's going to be the top scoring front rower between here and the end of the Origin period.
It's a big call, because there's one name high on the trading list this week, and that's probably because he's probably got a break even of about, I think it's 1 or 10 or something like that. There's a 1 in it. But Adam Fanua-Blake, the guy that has scored a couple of tries over the last 2 weeks, and obviously as they do, front rowers score very well when they do that. It's almost the... It's not one of those things, but sometimes you look at Supercoach options and you want to buy the dip. So you want to buy players on the downhill, sort of on the trough before they hit their peak. And conversely, you're probably buying AFB at his peak here. But I think there is also a little bit to love, given, as we've said, the injuries into that Warriors pack. So Fanua-Blake, yes, he's not going to score 100 every week, but In terms of where he stacks up against a Tarpane and against a Tino, where do you think he sits long term?
Long term, I've got him below those guys. I think when the pack is stacked, like he's been playing 50 minutes a game, similar to what Tarpane has. And before this week, he was averaging 55 or something like that. So as we said, like Tarpane's been having a down year and is still averaging the same as what Fanua Blake's had, even with his couple of massive games at the last couple of weeks. So I just think he's a premier prop. There's no doubt about it. He's got that mongrel in him. He wants to get involved in everything. But the Warriors being what they are at the moment, you know, Torhu's and Jazz's and, you know, Jackson Ford on the edge, they're all featuring heavily. I just don't think Fanua Blake is needed to play big minutes and get through a massive workload. So, you know, you're right. He's absolutely at his peak. His 102 on the weekend put him up 55 grand on his starting price or something like that. He had started to leak cash. Being from where he was at the start of the season. So it seems like he's overpriced at the moment. The 550K that he started with at the start of the year is probably what he's a fair value for him.
Agreed. All right, I'm going to turn attention to the fullback spot just quickly here. And this is on the proviso that if I was to know that Turbo would be out, this is a guy that I would 100% turn to. And that's Will Kennedy, 676K. Break even of 59, coming up against the Cows. We leak the most points to fullbacks across the whole competition, so in pretty good company there, old Will Kennedy. He's one of those guys, I think every single season goes on a run. You just have to time it right, and normally it's around that Origin kind of period when he picks up a little bit of the slack, but I think he's one of those guys who's never far away from an attacking stat, scores a lot of tries in bunches, helps set them up as well. I guess the only thing that holds me back a little bit from him, and this happens, I guess, throughout the year with him, is he can kind of dip a little bit. Nico does all the work. Matty Moylan even occasionally can steal it all as well, and the Sharkies have just got so many weapons in that attacking arsenal that he can occasionally be left out. But for me, he's one of those guys, sub 700K, Latrell, probably not a easily affordable option if you're moving Turbo on at nearly 350-odd K, I think, cheaper. But yeah, Kennedy for mine would be an absolute play this week and beyond if you knew 100% the Turbo was out. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen, so I'll live to see Kennedy another day. But in terms of fullbacks, if you're looking at a Turbo alternative, who would you go?
I don't mind Dylan Edwards. He's just quiet where he goes about things. He's averaging 76 on the year, largely because of the game he had. The four try game he had, I can't remember who it was against, but put up a 150 score there. But he's hard done by in that the fullbacks for New South Wales are, you know, one Teddy, two Turbo, three Latrell. And they're all going to play. They're going to play in the centers. But Dylan Edwards just isn't going to get a look in despite being a fantastic fullback. He's a little bit unlucky in that regard. It's a bit like the Nathan or Jake Friend era when Cam Smith was playing hooker for Queensland. Just good enough, but not, you know, better players ahead of him. So he's at only 5% owned as well and averaging 75 points a game. I really like him. I think he'll step up with the major playmakers out across the Origin period.
Yeah, no, he's one of those guys, I think, like Kennedy. It's just not at that top out-and-out premium level in that position, and it's so unfortunate because there's only two options in Supercoach, and there's the big three. So the likes of Turbo, Teddy, and Latrell that have been doing it for so long. But yeah, these guys have their place in Supercoach throughout the year, and it might just be over that Origin run, as you mentioned. I think Nick Meaney as well, not worth discounting. I think he's gone really well in Pappenhausen's absence, obviously misses this round, but then beyond should get a handy little uptick in Origin as well. I think he's been really handy.
Melbourne buys are in round 13 and round 19, so that's right in that Origin wheelhouse. And I think Pappenhausen is back running, so I'm not sure how long before he comes back, which is the only thing holding me off of Nick Meaney. He's been phenomenal. He's been absolutely destroying opposition. this year. Best for Melbourne in my book, even better than Munster and Harry Grant. So if you've got him, absolutely ride him until Pappenhausen comes back. But I'm not sure when that's going to be.
It'll be good to see Pappy back. I think he's got a long way to fall in terms of Supercoach value, so not sure how long he'll take to hit full gear, but looking forward to seeing that when it arrives. In terms of some other options here, Tyrell Sloan, talking about top of the list in terms of trade-ins, he's a fairly highly fancied target this round, negative 36 break-even, 464K available at centre wing and fullback. He was really good against the Chooks, had a good second half, put on a couple of good scores now in a row, 85 and 90. So that's why his break even so low. I think for the value that you're getting out of him, it's probably a reasonable enough decision. And the fact that you can flip him as you need in that center wing and fullback spot does play the Dogs, Tigers, Cows and Roosters, that side he just put 90 on, and then the Finns in round 13. So a lot of decent matchups coming his way. I guess it's that Dragons vibe though. I'm just not sure how to read them as a side.
It's hard, isn't it? Because, say, with Sloan, he's had a couple of big games, but he's had a couple in the teens as well, so he can go missing. But just on that Dogs matchup, in the eight games that they played this year, fullbacks have scored a 97, 77, 146, 75, and 99 on them. They give up plenty of points to fullbacks, so I'm not too worried about Sloan this week. Potentially your Cows, if they're playing a bit better like they were last week and a couple of those other upcoming games, it could be a bit tough for him. But it's the Dragons. I'm not confident having any Dragon in my team at the moment.
No, I've seen some people talking about Blake Laurie as well. I mean, I like Jack Bird. I like the look of him as a player. He's probably reaching his peak in terms of price and value at 600 and I think it's 20-odd K. But the move to the second row hasn't dampened his Supercoach output as I thought it would. Kills it at lock, doesn't always do that at second row, but a lot of busts, a lot of just offloads, those hoggy kind of runs that he does. But yeah, if I was to pick a Dragon, it would be Bird at a pinch and maybe Sloan this week just based on value. But yeah, hard to get a good read on them. And then finally, mate, I've grouped some cheapies together. We know we're short of cash in a lot of areas, but trying to find some players to fill low-priced roles has been a little difficult. Rob Jennings, we've spoken about him. He's, I think, almost number one traded-in player this round. I would be pumping the brakes pretty hard on that, given Edric Lee floating around and Tezzy New. We've spoken about him. We don't think we need to go any further into that. But you're going to get one price rise here and potentially not much after that. So be very, very wary. Jared Croker, 280K, popular one for last week, didn't play, but he's got a break even of four. I wouldn't say absolutely urgent trade in this week. He will make some cash, you would think, with a four break even, but beyond that, looks like one of those players that'll get 20 points in base and then 20 in goal kicking, which is exactly what
he's
done.
As we said before, Savage is on the extended bench. It's not long before he comes back in, and then Sebastian Chris has to go somewhere. Who was previously playing in the centres. Does Jared Croker last too much longer?
I know Ricky was very high on his experienced head when the Raiders got the job done over the Broncos somehow. What a weird result that was. Anyway, so I think in terms of keeping a calm, cool head on things at the Raiders, they'll want him around. So again, I think if you don't have to pull the trigger this week, give it another one until hopefully Savage is back and you get a clearer read. But again, we'll play a few of those Origin matches, and goal kicking always helps. Raiders are okay for the time being and a good matchup now. But yeah, Croker, not the most A-plus cheapy trade-in ever, but will do a job. And then one other name I've got is Bunty Afua, 303K, second row, front row, and break even of 11. Very much if you have to find a cheapy somewhere in your front row, second row could be an option given some added minutes this week and beyond with those injuries in the pack. But yeah, it's definitely not a, in terms of the Pahlavi scale, he'd be 4, 5, 6 Pahlavis out of 10.
Yeah, he's pretty high up there. Generally only plays half an hour and scores at, you know, just under 1 PPM. So the work rate's not massive, what you'd expect of a prop playing shorter minutes. Does have an amazing head of hair on him, but that doesn't get you many Supercoach points, unfortunately.
And what do you reckon about Wiramu Greg into the starting side with RCG out, but in terms of output, very low from what we've seen so far?
Yep, Yep, 100%. He's played two starting games this year, I guess when Polo was out, and he played 33 minutes at a 1 ppm and 19 minutes for a score of 18, and then played 31 minutes last week for 33 points. I think that's just what he's doing. He's going to be playing 30 or less for a bit of impact, but not really going to be relied on too much. As we mentioned, Cartwright will come on at some stage and there'll be a shuffle. Maybe Madison goes into the middle and plays like a lock prop type role and plays with Hopgood. But yeah, Wiramu Greg can be missed, I think.
Yep, too many big minute players, as you've said, in that para pack. All right, any buyers that I haven't spoken about before we go into captains?
No, not for me. As I said, I mentioned Tarpanay, who you spoke about, and I've mentioned Curran, who are two main guys I'm looking at this week. Actually, one other I will mention, JMK with the Dolphins. He's having a big year. He's had he got the HIA concussion game earlier in the season, which saw him miss a few weeks or suspension. I can't remember exactly what it was, but you know, missed rounds 3 and 4. But other than that, he's putting up 50s as a base and more often than not going over 70. So big one, won't play Origin, should see you through a couple of games through the Origin period. He's going to be great as a second hooking option, I think, for the rest of the year.
It's been a weird position so far. We've seen Wade Egan kill it when he can get on the park. Yep. JMK or Marshall King, as he's known to those who don't know the acronyms. But no, he, flying and under the radar as well. A guy like him, he had a pretty good last year, I feel like, as well.
Yes.
So he's definitely got some semblance of form in the position. But definite luxury trade. But some hooking options. I've got Reece Robson. I think he's outscoring. So there you go. It's been that kind of year. All righty. In terms of captains, mate, who have you gone VC captain on this week?
My VC at the moment is on Turbo, provided he plays.
Yep.
I think he could go massive against the Titans, but just not willing to throw the captaincy right smack on him with that groin issue, and into Cleary as captain. I really like the look of Nico, but you obviously can't do both. And I think Cleary against the Tigers could have a massive game.
Yeah, look, I just have a sneaking feeling we'll actually be relatively okay on Hines tomorrow. I feel like Kennedy and that might tear us and Nikita and all that, but I just have a feeling Hines is going to go sub 100, and you kind of need a really big score to use the loop anyway. So I'm happy to just hope like hell that he doesn't go large, but I'll be going D Brown or Ryan Madison against your boys the Knights Friday 6 o'clock, into Cleary against the Tigers at Bathurst. I think, yeah, if there's ever a game that you think Nathan Cleary can ton up and ton pretty comfortably, it's this one. I can't see the Tigers putting up two fights in a row, but not sure. Maybe the weather at Bathurst might be a bit rainy like it was at Campbelltown, and they'll bring him back to the pack a little bit. But I think, Tigers put an absolute fork in him. Cleary should be going 120 plus comfortably. I think I'm with you. I'd be going if I knew Turbo was fit. He's a very easy captaincy option, but I don't want to leave it too late in the week, and I can't swap him out because I've got Reece Walsh. So a bit of a tricky one, but I'm just happy if Turbo goes large. All right, mate. It's been a fun round 9 pod. We've got a fair bit to get through in a pretty short week. So a lot of tough calls to be made. I think after all this, I'm going to be boosting. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'll have to. I'm going to try and get up to JMK or to Tarpanay to cover one of the two guys I mentioned earlier, Sonny Luke or Stefano. I'm not comfortable running out with them and starting 17. So a boost will probably come into effect.
And next minute, Stefano scores 17 tries against against the Panthers of all team. But no, good to chat to you again, mate. Loving having you back. It's not a Tuesday, but it is a Wednesday, but it is feeling normal again, feeling like we used to on these SC reports. Lovely to have you back as always, and we'll catch you next week.
It certainly will.
And if you want to sing this one along while I play it, feel free.
I feel like I could. I've heard it that many times. I know the words by heart now.
Pants off.
Didn't have them on the beginning.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.